welcome to our public hearing on the amended fiscal year 2025 budget, our special municipal building authority meeting, and our regular town council meeting. It is Wednesday, May 21st, at 6:30 p.m. We are at Lot 2, Castle Valley Drive, and also on Zoom. We're going to do a quick roll call for the minutes, and then we'll jump first into our special municipal building authority meeting.
So here at the anchor site, we have Jasmine Duncan, Tori Hill, Harry Holland, Colleen Thompson, Dorje Conner, Donna Tia Montoya, Mike Carlisle, Ron Drake, Bailey Ross, Bill and Wendy Gustin, and Egmont Conner. And I don't know who these people are. I should, but I don't.
Scott Barnhart.
Of course.
Scott Lyric.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Taking a roll call vote, Bob O'Brien?
Aye.
Tori Hill?
Aye.
Harry Holland?
Aye.
Pamela Gibson?
Aye.
And aye. Closing the special municipal building authority meeting at 6:34 p.m. I'm going to open the public hearing for the amended budget for fiscal year 2025, and I'm going to go ahead and open public comment on that amended budget. I'll start here in the building. Do we have public comment on the amended budget? Anyone on Zoom have comment on the amended 2025 budget?
Go ahead. I have a question just for clarification because I'm new analyzing this. So the transfer from capital funds in the amended budget, where did that go? To some specific project or just into the general fund? Or
are
you talking about the very bottom, the one that's $181,000?
Yeah.
That is $147,000 for the heavy equipment that we bought, and that comes right out of our capital funds from roads. And there was also the 40-something thousand for our portion of the upper 80 crossing.
Okay. And then how much do we have in capital funds?
Right now, it was about almost 400.
That's where we're at now, because we got our payment finally from CBG.
A little over 400.
So it's 550-ish.
It should be right around 500.
And that was, that's about the figure that gets transferred to the 2026 budget? That 400,000, or is that separate?
No, that just stays there until we spend it, and next year we're going to be spending...
In our proposed budget, it will end up in our proposed budget. It'll pretty much cover the Campbell Creek Culvert crossing.
Okay.
Barely.
Well, not completely.
Not
we still have to come up with some of that in that proposed budget.
Any other questions or comments on the amended budget?
I just have a clarification. So what we're talking about is the amended budget, not the proposed 2026.
Correct. So because, and we're sorry for that confusion. I think Jocelyn tried to put out a couple of emails before this meeting to explain that the state procedure for proposing a budget that's an increase that would increase the tax rate requires truth in taxation, which means that our actual hearing for that budget falls in August. And we don't even get to adopt our budget until September.
Okay.
Because you have to get your assessment in July and your notice, right?
Right, right.
So that's the process, and I don't know for what reason we thought we needed to do it all in May.
So this amended budget, what is that, the 2025, what is that fiscal year date?
That goes through June of this year.
So July of 2024 to...
Yeah.
June 30th of 2025? Okay.
Yeah.
Just, thank you. Just out of curiosity, on the amendment, and I apologize, I didn't read it earlier, it's a remarkable variance, and also, why is this actually, or why are we allowed to amend mid-year versus offer only a variance to this amount? So, why did it change, I guess?
So we're almost at the end of the year, and we pretty much end up amending
every
year in May. you get as close as you possibly can to what you budgeted at the beginning of the year, but there's inevitably going to be something that you have to amend. And that is allowed through.
Well, that's my question. That's usually a variance, but you're exceeding 30%.
It's a lot, and it is because of capital projects.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that, on state audit, does that strike anyone's concern?
It puts us in a different threshold for audit. Like the
we have a larger audit.
Yeah. We expect we're going to have an audit.
We
have
one
every
year.
Well, it gives them to talk about, I guess, right?
It's a more detailed audit when you go over a certain number.
Gotcha. Yeah. That was my question, because it's more than a variance, so I guess that's why we have to amend, but okay. The road maintenance repair, some other things, just do we understand why the amendment was so large on some of these?
Yeah.
Why were we so far off?
Because we had disasters.
Well,
major.
Road maintenance.
I know the answer, but go ahead and say it out loud.
Road maintenance and repair has essentially classically been underdone. Last year during the floods, essentially the first thing that we were doing directly after the floods was repairing equipment so we could actually use it.
Okay.
And I feel that that's rather unacceptable. So we have been putting a lot more time and effort into maintaining the equipment to make sure that it is viable in whatever situation that we are in, and it's not going to fall apart on us like it continually has in the past.
But I need to add to that too, that we in my amending we stay within the line items, and
right.
So that money came from not having to lease a backhoe again,
right.
Because we took capital funds out and bought a backhoe. So that's where that money came from.
So we did shuffle the road department budget to fill those things. The overages really came from capital.
Well, and we also used 42,000 from our surplus of last year.
Yeah.
The road department as a whole has essentially not gone over budget. It's just individual line items that went over budget. So individual line items within the road department were shuffled around to make sure that there was allowable budget for what we have spent. Thank you.
Was there any application for disaster recovery from applying to the state and or the federal government for emergency relief?
So we didn't meet threshold for that kind of recovery, but we did, we are working with NRCS, which was where we did find some relief, and so they are helping us match funding for the repair of Castle Creek culvert crossing. Unfortunately, because of our budget and the matches required, that was pretty much the only part of that we were able to fund. I mean, they did look at a lot of other areas along the drainages. You know, with, if you have money, you can do more things. But
so I guess the question I have is
that was what we qualified for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge bite. You know, if there's a way that we could extrapolate that, you know, rather than absorbing it all at once.
We did try for CIB emergency funding, and
we were denied.
They denied us, and they're Jocelyn was actually very instrumental in getting the upper crossing or the upper 80 crossing paid for. Most of that was a government grant that paid for that, so that was really good. But yeah, we're between a rock and a hard spot as far as funding goes.
No pun intended.
I mean, to put that into some amount of perspective, the year that Moab had the major flood, they didn't meet threshold for recovery money. And that was huge. I mean, there were businesses just, you know, it was a mess. And they didn't meet the threshold. For us to meet a threshold for like FEMA funds, we would never do it because we don't even have that amount of infrastructure. So, yeah. And I think there's only so many like pots that cover those types of situations. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, and I think I speak for both my wife and myself, that we're non-residents here, and we just want to express our appreciation for how well run this town is. We recognize there are a lot of services, whether it's roads or, you know, through the building and through the fire department. There are a lot of services, and we understand there'll be a likely a tax increase coming up, and we just want to express our thanks and support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions online?
Should I just...
Is that HFH? Okay. You can go ahead if you wanted to speak. I'm getting crickets.
I just wanted to add that these grants, they all sound great and everything, but there's always a match and there are always reimbursements. So you have to pay it, wait and wait and wait and qualify and do the dance, and then they pay you back. But if you don't have the money to
and
pay
not
for
just
it
your
initially,
match, you have to pay for everything
yeah,
up front
right,
before you get reimbursed. So if we don't have the money for the whole project to begin with, it's very difficult to
right,
make these grants.
And did that happen? Did all this that happen? Get the work get done, got paid,
so for
got reimbursed?
The upper 80 crop.
Yeah,
we did that. Yeah. We were able to do that. We just barely last week got reimbursed for that.
That was about 520 or whatever?
No,
that's
for the
different amount.
The culvert,
yeah.
The
oh,
main
some
problem.
Of that 550 is money that we have since our last tax increase, whatever it was 10 years ago, been putting aside for these big groups, specifically for Castle Creek culvert.
What do you mean?
That was our last time we did an increase was 10 years ago.
An increase in the budget?
An increase in our tax rate. Not an increase in the budget, but an increase
item of the budget affect the tax rate, your property tax rate?
Yes.
Okay.
Your, the upper 80 crossing is this 198,000 on line 5544.
Mm-hmm.
On page 3.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're reminding your name too, Jocelyn.
Brenda Short.
Brenda.
Brenda, of course. Okay, sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
You were just hiding back there, and I didn't see you when I called roll.
We appreciate you putting eyes on us too, because we've been staring at it for a while and it's baked in it. Don, go ahead.
I'm looking at the amended budget for 5547.
Okay.
And we've got 36,740.
That was engineering on the culvert. And most of that was reimbursed back. Most of that we got from NCRS.
Yeah, 32,000 should be showing up here any day now.
So in that case, the NRCS, which is currently helping us with that culvert crossing, covers 100% of the technical assistance, which is the engineering part of the armoring and protection of that crossing. We have to cover the engineering on the actual structure because they don't cover the structure.
So is that what the $520,000 is for, $500,000?
It's for the combination of the structure itself and then the armoring and protection of that, our match of that.
So
yeah.
Did we have any bid on that?
So we're not out to the bidding phase yet. So that's a hopeful number.
Okay.
That's what we've considered the maximum amount that we can put towards this. And if they come more than that, then we're kind of in a bad place.
I'm not doing that.
Because we don't have more money than that.
Well, I'm questioning whether it's going to take that much. You know,
and it may not.
Right.
And it may not.
Yeah, because I've worked on projects, you know, in my prior life.
Yeah.
That were similar to this, and you know, just 10-minute search on it. You know, there's, I've got a note here that says, you know, 12 different methods used controlling stream bank erosion. And if there's at least 12 different approaches to that, you know, are we maxed out with the engineering on that, or, you know, is there room to look at alternatives?
So we're actually on an alternative right now. We did look at some other things that were much less expensive. And when the hydrology came back, it wouldn't meet what we've seen. So what we have was only rated for, like, what was it, 1,500?
1,500 CFS.
1,500 CFS.
The, essentially, 5,000 that they expect during the 100-year flood, or that we likely got multiple times last year. So the culvert that is down there currently,
it's not rated for anything near what we've already seen.
It's severely undersized for what it should be. So we will be upgrading the culvert to a much larger size under this.
Well, we're talking about an arch culvert.
Yes, an open bottom arch culvert that would allow the 5,000 CFS proposed to flow through without constriction. So most of that money is like the excavation, the installation of the culvert, and rebuilding the road over top of it is the majority of that money.
I've been involved with stream bank erosion control methods.
Right.
You know, that we've implemented, you know, through the BLM or through the Forest Service, you know, in other projects, and the mitigation for that didn't appear to be as extensive as what's being proposed for us. And I'm just questioning, you know, are we going down a path that we don't have thing to look at for stream bank erosion?
So what they're, NRCS is the party that's covering that part of the project. I mean, we have to match that.
But the design standards will have to fit what they allow specifically, what they will cover. And then also the engineering on that is going to be based on what's there. And that part hasn't really been designed yet.
The thought that comes to mind on a project that I worked on the courthouse wash, mm-hmm. upper courthouse wash, and right where the new Raptor State Park were coming in, they had to do stream bank erosion mitigation and control right there. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at keeping a CCC era gabion stream bank erosion that's been in place for 100+ years. Mm-hmm. And
that may be something that gets used in this project. We don't know yet. But that is something that was mentioned. I mean,
went to the state engineering when we did. You know, in fact, we'd like to invite everybody to the Raptor State Park ribbon cutting tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Oh, gee.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Raptor State Park. But we know what. Not tomorrow, Friday. Excuse me.
Okay.
It's Friday at 1 o'clock. But that courthouse wash, you know, is huge when it gets flooded. And that gabion stream bank erosion control method is basically, you know, welded wire and rocks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's been there for 150+ years.
Yeah. It's a common way to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm...
I wouldn't be surprised at all if that isn't incorporated.
I hope it is, because, you know, I'd like to see a common sense approach rather than just throwing $500,000 at it. Because it comes out of our pockets. We've already seen an increase in our county tax rate, which was, in my case, it was a 7% increase.
Right.
Throw this on top of it, and that puts my property tax bill, you know, it's huge.
Yeah, that's understood. It's all of our
bills. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about where it crosses over the entrance and exit for over 80, right?
No, we're talking about Bank Tower Street crossing.
Oh, this one down here.
It affects all of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What was the estimated when they had the major amount of water going through there? What was that CSS estimate that? Or I know it's just a guesstimate.
I really don't know. I mean, as far as I understand, it was probably close to the range of 3,000 or 4,000 CFS minimum.
I think 3,800 was not this one, but was the last recorded one when there was still a gauge down below.
Oh, okay.
That was one of the last big ones, not this past year, but like the previous worst one. Yeah. So we're already seeing way more than what we're designed to handle.
It's not just the water. It's what the water's carrying with it. The giant boulders and whole trees. And
well, that's what really compromised the culvert was that a tree went in. And we sat there and watched this tree just ram the culvert, above the culvert, and it created this huge cavity. Right under the road surface.
But if that tree had turned sideways and blocked the culvert, the creek would have gone right over the road.
Mm-hmm. And if the creek goes over the road, we no longer have a road there.
Right. That's going back to what I'm saying. Is, you know, are we looking at upstream mitigation in terms of, you know, trees and
so,
potential?
Yeah, that is part of the conversation on this. Yes.
Yeah,
that's
part of
our
conversation. Being swept away from the bank.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing to address the culvert itself, but you're being proactive, looking at, you know, what is the upstream mitigation being proposed for stream bank erosion upstream, and methods of being doing that, so we don't get to the crisis.
And some of that will be on us, because the current budget we have is only going to get us, you know, so many hundred feet up around that area with this particular project, but our crew is already looking at upstream mitigation as far as like the dead down things that are above that, like when you go down rim shadow, and there's a lot in there where we can't access, and they've already been taking some hard looks at what we can do. Edmont, where's your hand going up?
Yeah, I just want to say that the 500,000 is not just the mitigation of erosion. it's the bigger project.
The whole thing?
Yes.
Including the structure and the road rebuilding.
Yes.
And,
it
yeah.
is the culvert replacement.
That's a large
the majority project. Of that money.
Yeah.
Can I ask where in Central Falcon Road here? And I understand that that's a major problem, and I get that. But where in the budget is just for maintenance of the side roads?
So you'll find that.
That essentially falls under road supervisor.
Part of our payroll, yeah.
Yeah, it just falls under road supervisor and road staff.
Under payroll?
Yes, payroll and taxes. That's essentially to cover the hourly cost of the employees doing work.
And will we ever get any more road base or gravel on our side roads?
So we do have
yes.
Money in that budget. It's just that I mean,
I know it's not a high priority.
It's generally not a huge amount, and it does get prioritized based on like the worst spot
yes.
because it's not a large amount.
Correct.
Yeah.
So some don't ever get it.
It's not that we're going to be doing all the roads and road base at one time. Probably.
No, I understand
yeah.
that. Just if they get washed away and scraped away, then they get left.
Well,
unattended.
Yes, for the most part, well, this year has been a little off. I would have loved to have done a lot more surface
yeah,
stuff, but this year it's trying to take care of drainages that are
yeah, I get
potential
that.
For
yeah, I get that. Yeah. That's why I just wanted
yes.
that. It is there are other roads in this town.
Oh,
yeah. Absolutely.
I am aware. We just did a full road inspection recently, and not all of it's great. I don't have it in front of me right now.
Sure.
I haven't posted it yet. That will definitely be accessible with the quarterly report that will be coming next month. But for the most part, the road surfaces are not super great, but they're also not super bad. So we're prioritizing the potential damage areas more so than that. We hope to continue to work on those and improve them as needed. And whenever there's a real issue, we will be out there.
So that is another huge reason why we're looking at a potential increase is because we're continually barely meeting what we would like to be getting done on our roads. It's like minimum maintenance.
The budget as of right now essentially allows for 2 days per work for employees. That's all we can afford is an average of 2 days
and
per
that's
work
really
week.
Not adequate mm-hmm. to do with what would give the, you know, a better service to your road.
Right. Well, I see weed control here, but there's nothing there. What is weed control? Does it mean mowing? Is that what that mowing?
Well, sometimes in the past that we've had the crew go tackle goat head problems or things like that when we we've had pretty major problems on a lot of the roads with goat heads.
Is that like tumbleweeds? Or
goat heads?
Oh, goat heads.
I mean, we do sometimes tackle tumbleweeds as well if they're in the road, isn't it? But yeah, it's not, you know, but one of the things that are going to create a really major issue.
Thankfully, we don't have one on our property.
So far.
Somebody
yeah.
come take mine if
you have them. I guess this is a future question then. Obviously, you have a fair amount of capital budget increases and some other things. Probably too early even. It's a twinkle in our eye for 2027, but do we actually expect the escalation of 30, 40, 50% year on year? Or are we going to
no.
have a lot here?
What I see is similar to what has happened in the past. I mean, we don't do increases very often for good reason. We know that people are already paying way too much. We know that the county is continually, almost year after year, increasing our taxes.
Nothing.
And we also have a fair amount of sales tax that comes in. And if over the years that has increased to a point where we haven't needed to increase property taxes, there would be no reason to do that if we don't need to.
I know this might be a difficult question, But how does the town get that money? Since the town has no businesses that collect sales tax.
Right.
I know
people buy their cars.
So then how does that get
the state collects it and ends up, is that part of the TRT?
No. No, it's just, it's tax, it's sales tax on automobiles, trailers, boats, things like that, that you pay every year, you pay your registration fees and stuff. All of that goes by the town and then it comes to us. So
part of that $600 that I paid last month to do my motorhome, some of that will come back to Cabo Valley.
Yeah.
So probably
a good portion of the money.
I saw that on the budget, and
I it's confusing.
Yeah, because I know it all goes to the state, and they do their magic.
Yeah.
And then we do have some that probably comes from the few home businesses, you know.
Yeah,
probably not at all.
A whole lot, because we don't have
commercial.
Very little commercial,
right?
Unfortunately.
Fortunately.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Other comments or questions?
One last one for me.
Sure, Don.
Just things that jump out at me. So, for example, we've got an actual 2024 budget of $391,000. And in 2 years, we jumped to a budget of
$842,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
520
of that is just
the
project.
Yep.
Yeah.
So is this a one time, or is that going to be?
That's a one time.
Once we've set a budget,
no.
You know,
that's based
on, we don't look back.
That's based on your capital project.
That's money we've saved. That $520,000 is money that we've saved over the last, 10 years? How long has it been? 10 years since we paved Castle Valley Drive? So every year, if you look at the bottom here, on transfers on bottom of page 3, this year we're actually amending to put $120,000 back into Capitol Road. So every year at the end of the year, I'll go through and see where we have not spent what we've budgeted. So it's basically our surplus. That all goes back into capital. And then that will eventually repave Castle Valley Drive. Or luckily we had it in our capital funds to be able to even do the culvert this year. If we didn't have those surpluses to put into capital funds, we'd never be able to have the money to pave Castle Valley Drive. That's going to be at least $300,000, I think.
Every time we get to it.
I mean, it was ridiculous how much money it cost just to chip seal, 4 miles of road?
Yeah.
So, in the future, the increase, this tax increase will then go into the capital funds to do these bigger projects. So, it's our operating budget will probably stay very similar, although this,
except for the road department,
we did increase their salaries. Well, there's 10, 20, 25,000 that we've increased for the road department for just basic work. We've increased their maintenance and repair since we own the equipment now, so now they can actually maintain the good equipment that we've just recently purchased. So, you know, since our last tax increase, everything extra at the end of the year has gone into mostly capital roads. And this year we spent $150,000 on equipment, which we were able to get at quite a good deal. We were expecting to spend $200,000 on a grader, and we got a grader and a backhoe for $147,000. So we did really good on that. But every year those overages just go right into the capital budget. So we save it after.
Unlike the state, which occasionally gives it back.
Well, when we have enough that we can give back, we could talk about that.
Okay. I don't see us ever increasing taxes to the point where we should have to give money back.
No.
We should never be taking that much if we don't need it.
So with that being
I'm aware of state budgeting for the department that I'm working with, you know, for State Parks, for example. And we give money back.
Because you took too much.
We didn't take enough.
So with all that being said, then for 2027, we should be looking at a much lower number than
840. Oh, yeah.
Wait, well, unless we take, because Capitol Valley Drive won't be 500,000.
And it probably won't.
The only reason that it's 847,000 is because there's 520,000 in for the culvert.
So
if we take Capitol Valley Drive, we could have our basic, you know, budget of 391 plus another 300. It depends on how much it costs to repave Capitol Valley Drive.
But those will be the one-off type years where we do a capital project that costs a lot of money. So for this next fiscal year, basically subtract the 520,000. And you'll get what a normal budget would look like without having to add a big project.
And that 500 grand's already there. You're not trying to raise
right. No, no.
But
what
you have it.
You can see here we've gone from 135,000 basically in property tax to 210. And so, I mean, that's $70,000 extra that we're asking for in this year. Or in this increase, so we'll be getting 70,000 more a year to put towards the roads, so we could buy more gravel, spend more time. You know, it's not going to cover major trouble. It's not going to, you know, if we have a huge washout, it's not going to be able to cover that. We'll still have to go into our capital budget.
Yeah, I appreciate these conversations, and I hope, you know, if you'd like to come back to the August hearing, if not, at least we've we've heard from you. Daily.
So I don't know if this is the time to bring it up, but you did just been saying that in 2026 you're increasing the salary, so the amount of time that the road crew can spend out there. How much more time will they get? 3 days a week, 4 days a week?
We're only three and a half.
About three and a half with that budget.
And of course, like in the winter, there's not much work, so that means you're doing what you might be working for 5 days a week, sometimes in the summer.
Correct. Yeah. Do you want that thing in your hand, or?
What's the date under August meeting?
On August meeting is on my agenda. It will be 20th. The 20th.
And I believe we do, are we doing 20th? It at 6? Or is it going to be 6:30?
August 20th.
Yeah.
6 or 6:30?
6:30.
Okay.
Right? We never have any.
Never.
Yeah. All right, any other comments, questions? Anybody online?
Okay. I do appreciate people showing up. This is the first budget meeting we've had that has had people for a long time, so I don't want to have to increase the taxes just to get you all
through. Or suggest it.
We appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. So we'll go ahead and close the public hearing at 7:09 p.m. and open our regular town council meeting at 7:09 p.m. and we'll open with open public comments. Any open public comments tonight? They just all commented out. Okay. Item 2, approval of the minutes from our regular town council meeting of April 16, 2025.
I did get your corrections, and they're in the second packet that we just posted, because I had problems posting it. But I did get your...
Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's all right. You're good to go.
Interesting.
So what were the ones that I read then, the ones that you posted?
We just posted it right, in the last 2 hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
All it really, only change to the packet was the minutes. There were some corrections in Pamela's Utah what's it, URT?
Yeah, renewable energy.
And also in the new packet is Harry's letter.
Right, I saw that.
So you probably already saw that, because he sent it out to everybody.
Yeah.
So I would move that we approve the minutes with Pamela's correction.
Second.
Any further discussion? Taking a vote, Barbara Bryan.
Aye.
Pamela Gibson.
Aye.
Tori Hill.
Aye.
Harry Holland.
Aye.
Aye. Item three, executive report. John Drew, water agent report.
All right, I'm kind of overstimulated from that hearing. I'm not sure I can speak coherently.
We can take over.
There's one main thing to report, although, you know, it's going to be brief, which is we have received a draft of the water budget study from the Utah Geologic Survey team. Probably not much to say about it right now, since it is a draft. It's going to be officially released in July at the MOT meeting, is my understanding. I've read through it once. I'm going to have to read through it about five more times to absorb all that's in it. Obi may have something to add, but I'll just say that I can say unequivocally that the town got its money's worth. There's information and coherence to the information like we've never seen before, and I think it'll be very valuable for the town in creating its water right strategy and aquifer management strategy going forward. Again, there's really not much more to say now. Just want to let you all know that it is in the hands of me and the other members of the Water Advisory Committee who've been asked to comment on it. I think our only comment is going to be is that it's excellent. In other words, they want comments on the structure of the report and information in it. But again, I think my comment would be excellent work, and we appreciate it. And more substantive discussions will come when we take the information in it to the Division of Water Rights. Obi, do you have anything to add?
No, because I guess we don't want to talk about the substance of it, but it's very, very well written. So it is in many ways understandable by just kind of normal folk. And even when it gets to start talking about chemical analysis and stuff, which I don't understand terribly well, they lay out everything just kind of beautifully. They explain, the half-life of this and the half-life of that, and why you're using particular analyses and stuff. So I think it's incredibly well written, and I think it has good conclusions for us and very interesting, great graphics also.
Money well spent.
Anyway, so yes. What was that?
Money well spent.
Oh, very. I would say very well spent, and I will go beyond that and say that it this report should mean that the town does not have to spend any more money on things of this nature. I think we have what we've been working towards and spending money on for years. I think I can't guarantee how Division of Water Rights will receive it, but I feel like we are well equipped with information that exceeds anything that they have or anybody else, any other town of our size has. So, again, more to come, but that's the report for tonight.
Great. Thank you.
Hey, John, can I just ask about the water study? Could you just give us an idea of what the, maybe a couple of big issues that water study could help us with?
Excuse me?
Just tell us a couple of big issues that the water study might help the town with, just for people who don't understand what we've been working on.
Well, it's the multi-year effort to quantify the Castle Valley Aquifer, and not just quantify it in terms of what is in it, but the dynamics of how the water moves through it and how it interacts with the creek and the threats to water quality and water supply,
It's really hard to summarize. It's so comprehensive. I mean, it's the town has assumed the responsibility for protecting the aquifer and related matters to protect the water rights the town has. And this is the big, this not just a piece of the puzzle, it's kind of the whole picture. Does that help?
Yes. Thank you.
And I think John could say much more and kind of briefly some exciting things, but I think we probably, since this is a draft report, shouldn't talk about those things. I just think it's good for the town.
And if we're done with that, the other thing, Perry and I had an exchange of emails that was, I guess, pursuant to some citizens noticing that there had been some filings with respect to water in Castle Valley, and were curious about what they meant and what the implications were. I'll start by saying that there's a Division of Water Rights maintains a website where anybody can go look and see what newly filed, what they call pending applications. And I do that on a regular basis. Not long ago, Pam told me that you can actually put yourself on an email list to receive notifications of when there's any new applications within a certain radius of anywhere. And I'm basically now getting notices of any water-related applications at Division of Water Rights within a 30-mile radius of Castle Valley. And these two applications, I guess they were spotted in the Times Independent. Again, someone I think made a citizen made a post on Facebook basically wondering what they were about, and I responded and explained what they were about. And it seemed to satisfy the person who was curious. One was simply a property owner in Castle Valley, a lot owner who has a state-issued right, applying for an extension of time in which to do proof of that water right. And the other was for a non-consumptive use up in Willow Basin for a micro-hydro generating device. And likewise, that is of no, because it's non-consumptive, especially, and it's distance from the aquifer, from the town, it's not really of interest to, you know, it's not of interest to the town. I explained that to somebody who asked that essentially if the town is going to file a protest or take an action against an application, it first of all has to demonstrate a material interest. I mean, that it has some interest that is being impacted or could be impacted by if the application is approved. And the town's interest is the aquifer. Again, it's not the creek necessarily, although the creek has an interaction with the aquifer that's now pretty well understood. But again, it's important. Anybody can file a protest. I mean, anybody can protest anything. But if you expect your protest to be credible and to be possibly upheld, you have to be able to demonstrate an impact to your interest, your material interest. And neither of these things comes close to doing that. So unless that's all I have to say, unless somebody has any questions. I guess the main thing I'm saying is I'm keeping an eye on all these things, and so are other people, mm-hmm. that nothing is going to happen in Castle Valley without us knowing about it, when it's basically applied for. In other words, nothing will get approved without us seeing it weeks in advance, and if something warrants a protest, we certainly will file one.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Can I just... I just wanted to add, I'd like to add one more thing about the water study. That was a $100,000 study, and UGS paid for half of it, and the federal grant paid for the rest, and it only really cost the town $9,000, that whole study.
Well, that's a screaming deal, if ever there was one. So,
pretty much.
No, honestly, the time will come soon when this will be published and we'll all have a lot to discuss, but even at half the price, it would have been worth it. And he did that to $50,000. It really, really is invaluable information. And information is it's the only way you're going to get something done in this day and age. You got to walk in with information, and we have it.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to our road department report. Did you have any questions for Gorge?
I've got one question. I've been seeing a lot of dirt hauling.
Yes.
What are those projects you're working on?
For the most part, that's clearing out drainages to allow for higher capacity of water flow. A large amount of that dirt has come from ditches right along the side of Castle Valley Drive, where we had it flowing over Castle Valley Drive during the floods last year.
Flooding over.
And hopefully this will help prevent some of that. I can't guarantee that it will prevent it indefinitely. But we're also kind of trying to create space for if there is debris flows there, we can just kind of push it back a little bit and recreate the ditch very quickly. And some of those were so full that you like had to remove it to get flow returned.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a tree in the middle of the ditch, should that be moved?
Yes.
Yes, it should.
And that is
yeah.
Yeah.
We've had
this. There's a few of them. That's part of the issue there is it's going to be a discussion with the utility company.
There's a power something under there.
Yeah, right, yeah. Because we will essentially want to have the power or the utility company is on standby to repair it.
Mm-hmm.
Because once the tree is pulled, it will likely damage the underground utility. We can cut it off. But
then you can't find it.
And we also, essentially, the town doesn't want root killer, at least most of them, as far as I understand.
No.
And Siberian elms are notorious for living with root.
It is on.
That tree is on
the
radar.
It's on the radar. It's on the website. It's there.
Okay. Funny that we all know exactly what tree is.
And when do you expect the front wheel bearing to get fixed on the mower?
Hopefully either later this week or next week.
Yeah, don't order stuff for that. Yes.
It was
that was
it was like $23 for wheel bearings, so.
it's not one thing, it's another, isn't it?
Yep. Well, now we can say we drove it until the wheels fell off. One other comment I do have to make is during the road inspection that was done on 4/25. So a few days after the last town council meeting, there were some comments made at the last town council meeting about tumbleweeds and culverts. The actual count for that was approximately 15, I believe, that were affected by tumbleweeds, and that has since been reduced to 5 or 10 that I would be even partially concerned about getting clogged by tumbleweeds.
I wonder if we could do some kind of a public service announcement to get people to mow their tumbleweeds before they're 5 feet tall and blowing into their neighbor's yard.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very helpful.
That would be nice.
Well, if we go along and pick them up out of our dishes, where do we put them after that? Do you burn them?
You can
compost
them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
once
they're that big,
it's the problem.
Yeah. So, we'd be happy to get them out of our, because I don't like them.
Yeah, the issue is getting them when they're small. Once they're that big.
Another thing you can do to greatly benefit that is drive further to the sides of the road. I mean, don't go beyond where it's safe to drive. But very often people will just drive down the middle and the tumbleweeds will grow up on the side. Mm-hmm. And that can be nullified by all of 10 people driving on it throughout the year.
I took 4 pickup loads with my rack. I mean, from the playground, from the sandbox to the back pile back here. Because
is there
a pile
you can take to? Or is that just
one little place this big, and it was like 4 truckloads. I couldn't believe it.
We have been around. Some of the culverts have been cleaned at least 4 times at this point because they fill up with tumbleweeds again. So sometimes we will just put them up to the side, kind of crush them, and put dirt on them until we can collect them later. So that is an option as well.
Okay.
That's your plan to collect them later?
It's for some of the smaller amounts. For very large amounts, we prefer to burn them. Burning can be a little inefficient because you have to spray everything down, burn it, do mop up afterwards to make sure you're not starting a fire. And just compressing and collecting them with the backhoe on a truck, for example, can be all in 5 or 10 minutes per culvert.
Yeah. So. Okay, thank you.
Do you have one? Thanks, Georgie.
Oh, one
more question from Pam.
Oh, and what is, do you have any more update timing-wise of when they're going to give a, they have
not
a,
as
they yet. Have a, they're silent?
Yeah,
like
I...
federal government.
Yeah, I'm hoping it didn't get lost in the weeds with changes, because some of the people I was talking to at BLM are no longer there, so...
Maybe we should... Somebody else, or if there is anybody else, there may not be
anybody.
Well,
we need permission directly from BLM.
I know, I mean, so. Talking to somebody, other humans that might be there now that were they replaced.
No, I have talked with them.
Oh, you have? Okay.
So, I reinvigorated that more recently. There was a little bit of a lull where I was working on other projects.
Right. Okay, just curious.
No, that's still in progress.
I know, and I appreciate that. Thanks.
Okay, did you have any questions? For Georgie? Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Planning and land use. I don't believe we have any minutes in here. Fabian is here. Is anyone have
options?
Question?
No. I didn't think you had them yet.
You were on the panel.
Yeah. That's okay. Mm-hmm. You can give us an update on the general plan.
Well, right. Well, so, I mean, the Planning Commission did, you know, have some more, you know, suggestions from the community and from themselves, so they went through the whole general plan to date and made a lot of corrections and additions and confirmed, you know, what we had decided before. Mm-hmm. So, really, there's a couple of...
Hmm? You mean the survey?
The survey, yeah. Survey, right.
Sorry.
Thank you. There's a couple of areas, and one has to do with reframing some questions having to do with agriculture. So there's a couple of people working on that. And what's the other? Yeah, I think it was mostly the agriculture section that still has some loose ends. Oh, and maybe formulating some questions around you know, reconsidering a cell phone tower somewhere in the valley or surrounding areas. So anyway, it's, So otherwise, I think that they're hoping that after this next meeting, maybe they would, you know, be ready to hold a public hearing. Or maybe not a public hearing, but send it on to you guys and start the work to...
So we don't
have to have a public hearing on the survey.
Yeah,
but ready to send it on and still thinking about the best time to send it out. Whether sometime during the summer or late summer and get it back early fall, but they still want to get the general plan done by the end of the year. So it's a little tight because the concern was there wouldn't be enough people here during the summer to get a good return.
Yeah,
people coming and going.
So you mail it to their primary address though? Does that go out in the mail?
Right. But if the primary address, say, is here or even somewhere else, and people are away for a month or...
Oh, crap.
So, I think you could miss them entirely. So.
Yeah, but there was
a lot of a timing issue.
Survey only had, like, 51% response. So then you're making policy based off of less than half of, barely over half of the population.
Mm-hmm. Well, if people aren't...
I just don't think that's good policy.
Well, I know, but you can't make people respond.
You can't make policy.
You can't make people respond.
Right.
No.
If some people don't care about policy, obviously.
Then that means there probably doesn't need any change.
No. Yeah, so you don't even need to have a survey.
But we do plan, and several people have suggested this, to use MailChimp to... You know, this time to remind people throughout, because it's easy also to put it at the bottom of your stack of mail, and I'll get to that later. So we plan to, you know, send out a couple of reminders, you know, for people to dig it out and get it done.
Is there any reason why it couldn't be also sent by email with something so they could fill it out?
Well, we're working on some possible, you know,
in-depth discussions about how to make things like that work and how to keep people from responding more than
there's still a fair number of people who don't use computers, wouldn't really comfortable about going online, and then how do you know that somebody didn't do it online and then suggest a paper copy?
And then keeping it anonymous.
Complications there.
Thanks. So I do encourage everyone on the council to at least be looking at the planning commission packet and going through what they've already done as far as work on the survey, because when it comes to us, we need to be like, if we have comments, you should be making them at their meeting in advance. Would be ideal so that the process of mailing and stuff doesn't get slowed down too much when it comes to, you know, to us for a final like review.
Yeah.
So take a few minutes.
I can send you, I meant to, before you include that, and, you know, send the copy where we are now. So I can go ahead and send that out to all of you, you know, to have
them
there. And if you have comments or suggestions, get them in by our next meeting.
Okay.
That would help speed things up. Thank you, Kaylin. Pamela. Anything tonight from Utah Renewable Communities?
Utah Renewable Communities received approval from the Public Service Commission for our solicitation package. That has been an ordeal, but so we did get that. It's great. And that's the second part of the program. There's a program application, which is the nuts and bolts of how billing and all that stuff is going to work. That is, surprise, surprise, being delayed again. Let's see, Rocky Mountain Power said they were going to file the remainder of their program application testimony on 5/15, but they're now saying that it was, or at least when this email went out, they were projecting that it will happen early this week, but I haven't received anything saying, yay. So,
same old.
Yeah, same old, same old.
Thank you. Ron, do you have anything for the fire district tonight?
I guess the whole thing about the fire burned, open burn line closed until May 31st. They'll be closing down early because it got hot.
They closed it, okay.
So, the burn window is closed until next fall.
It is closed now.
Closed now.
And the fire district's doing a 4th of July thing?
They were planning a 4th of July. I think a pancake breakfast type thing.
Pancake roller skating.
Hopefully.
Also, the fire district is also, this is an election year for the fire district, and they have two open seats. You don't have to have experience in fire service to serve as a commissioner. You can have experience in something like budgeting or what else would be useful? Grant writing?
Yeah.
So, something to consider. IT report, Colleen had a report. I have it. It can get into the packet. So, do you want to just explain that email hosting is no longer
Since I went to that meeting in November, about cybersecurity that the state put on, there were federal people there. They said they were going to have a state-sponsored program for Google Workspace program for small communities like ours, where they would pay for it, and we'd get free email hosting. And so I've been checking in with them periodically, and they keep saying,
soon. And the other day I called and talked to a new guy, and he said, oh, you don't qualify. I'm like, they've been promising me this for months. So I'm going to call back and talk to somebody different, but there are also other resources the state offers in terms of help, maybe with hardware and technical support, so I'm still working on that. But it would be really nice. I mean, I know we have a new email host. Some people find the web interface unsatisfactory. But it turns out, and it took me a long time to find this out, that we need some sort of centralized archiving and backup of our email, both for state retention requirements and for grammar requests. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that pretty much only Microsoft and Google's email hosting services provide that. It took me way too long to find that out. And so I'm going to see how much it might cost for either one of those for us. Mm-hmm. But if they charge by the seat, and we need probably 15 licenses, so that could get expensive because they charge by the seat per month.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. Wow.
I'm going to call them back and try to talk to somebody different and see if I can sneak
up. Did they give you a reason why we didn't qualify?
Because we're paying for our own domain email, and I'm like, we have been all along. You've been emailing me at this address. You did not notice.
Right?
You know, the only entity I know of that doesn't have their domain hosted email is the fire district. But Susan's been having her own problems with these state people, so.
That's right.
Promises. Anyway, I'm working on that. The other thing was this morning, the state keeps coming up with requirements for us. There was one about privacy recently. This morning I was at a webinar put on by our web host about how to do, a year ago the state legislature passed a law, or maybe it was the feds, that our digital stuff, like our website, has to comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Mm-hmm. And luckily our new web host, which specializes in government websites, pretty much has us covered on that. There's a few things that we need to do. Something called PDF remediation, so people that can't see and have a reader can have PDFs read to them. I'm looking into all that. But we're
like AI can help us with some of that, huh? Maybe.
Who knows? And another one is video files require captions and transcripts. Luckily, we upload our videos to YouTube, which provides that already, so that's good. Audio files also require transcripts. I don't know if it's okay to just point people at the YouTube video, because we also post audio recordings of all our meetings. I've been, for a couple months, experimenting with a couple of software AI programs for creating transcripts and summaries of meetings. So I'm still working on that.
Zoom will do that. They have that.
Yeah, the one I was at this morning, there was a transcript I could follow along. Okay. And I thought I'd check with you guys and see, you know, when you download the audio at the end of the meeting, uh-huh, if the transcript is an add-on or something. But our other problem is, our owl microphone is still getting garbled. I watched a video of the March town council meeting for updating 85-3. Anyway, a lot of the audio recorded in the room was garbled and couldn't understand it. That's why I record the meetings on my phone as a backup. So I'm not sure how the transcript software would work with that that's built into Zoom, but I'll check that too. I did see that, and it was like, wow, this is a pretty good transcript.
Yeah. YouTube doesn't always totally transcribe.
No, this is Zoom.
Either. I know, but just so you know, I mean, I see plenty of things where the transcript isn't going along with it.
Oh, I know, because the stuff I've been experimenting with, I see the same thing, and one of them I paid for, so we'll see.
Okay, thank you for doing that.
Anyway, that's the PDF thing seems to be like probably the most difficult, but we might have to actually learn how to use Word style, because then
the tagging and stuff translates to this PDF. So.
Okay.
Okay. Any questions for Colleen?
Thank you.
Item 4, correspondence. Anything?
No, I think we covered almost everything. Yeah.
Okay, administrative matters and procedures. Town letters, we do have, actually, we have one on the agenda. Do we have any other that anyone wanted to discuss? We do have election declaration week is June 2nd through 6th, and by appointment, right?
Right.
Our property tax public hearing is August 20th, 2025. And that's the one about the increase. Any other administrative matters?
No.
Okay. We'll move into new business. Item 6, discussion and possible action regarding resolution 2025-3, adopting the amended fiscal year 2025 budget.
I move that we approve resolution 2025-3, a resolution adopting the amended fiscal year 2025 budget.
Second.
Do we have further discussion? Taking a roll call vote, Tori Hill?
Aye.
Harry Holland?
Aye.
Pamela Gibson?
Aye.
Bob O'Brien?
Aye.
And aye. Item 7, discussion and possible action regarding resolution 2025-4, adopting the proposed fiscal year 2026 budget.
So this will be a tentative budget until we have our hearing in August.
Right.
And at that point, we'll, after the hearing in August, we'll vote on that, and then it will be our approved budget. So it's just going to be a tentative budget until then. Will act like it's the budget until that point.
Well, I move we approve resolution 2025-4, a resolution adopting the proposed fiscal year 2026 budget.
Second.
Further discussion? Taking a roll call vote, Harry Holland.
Aye.
Pamela Gibson.
Aye.
Bob O'Brien.
Aye.
Tori Hill.
Aye.
And aye. Item 8, discussion and possible action regarding payment of the Municipal Building Authority CIB loan for $7,500.
I move we make the payment to CIB for $7,500.
Second.
Second. I lost.
Any further discussion? Pamela Gibson.
Aye.
Harry Holland.
Aye.
Bob O'Brien.
Aye.
Tori Hill.
Aye.
And aye. Item 9, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the public land sales provision letter.
Good letter, Harry.
Harry wrote.
Thank you.
Yes, good.
I would move that we approve the letter for the public land sale provision.
Second.
Do we have further discussion?
Which lands are these?
Can you just give me a second? I have a
public land.
Locally,
yeah, it's in Washington County and Nevada. Celeste Malloy proposed that we sell off some of our public lands for, isn't it an energy?
To raise it, revenue.
To raise revenue for the,
yeah,
for the deficit.
Yeah, so the public lands provision,
they're gonna
it was approved by the House Natural Resource Committee a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it sells off at least 11,000 acres over near St. George, and then a
Tortoise
lot
habitat.
In Nevada.
Tortoise habitat.
Slippery slope.
Yeah.
Slippery slope.
Yeah.
Very slippery.
Yes. And so Grand County is writing a letter in opposition. Well, they are voting on it. I think they voted on it yesterday. Did you hear?
I did not.
So we thought we should write a letter too. To oppose this,
yeah, I don't know what kind of good
land
it'll do,
sales provision.
Very good.
No.
It's what?
Very good.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, good letter, Harry.
Yeah.
So we'll take a vote. Tori Hill.
Aye.
Bob O'Brien.
Aye.
Harry Holland.
Aye.
Tammy Gibson.
Aye.
And aye. I should call myself somewhere in the middle.
You should.
Just to keep myself away. Sorry.
It's getting near 8 o'clock.
Oh, yes, it is.
Go ahead.
Item 10, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the Castle Creek Arch Culvert Project for up to $520,000 in capital funds.
I move we approve the Castle Creek Arch Culvert Project of capital funds for up to $520,000 and hope that we don't spend near that much.
Second.
Further discussion. Okay, I'll take a vote. Tamla Gibson.
Aye.
Harry Holland.
Aye.
Tori Hill.
Aye.
Bob O'Brien.
Aye.
And aye. Yes, and hope that we don't actually spend that much.
Yeah.
And it sounds like we may not.
Well, and that's what we did with the heavy equipment.
Yeah.
Can I ask, is this a different project? A different, was a different project than the one you talked about last month?
Is what they first were looking at isn't adequate. It isn't going to work.
Okay.
It would cut the flow down too much.
Yeah.
The insert.
The intake, it just wouldn't handle going through there. Yeah, it seemed weird to all of us.
Yeah.
They had to run the hydrology before they could just tell us that.
Yeah.
Is this a concrete structure then, like an arch?
It's an arch culvert, so it would have like footers.
The proposed size is a 28 by 13 foot, I believe, so 28 foot wide, 13 feet high, steel half culvert, essentially. It's an open bottom arch culvert is the term for it. More than likely they would be doing fairly large foundations along the edges that it would be attached to, made out of concrete, that would secure it in place.
And then the bottom is just creek bottom?
The bottom is just creek bottom. Mm-hmm. Which the other benefit of that is if it does clog up or if there's debris in there, you can take heavy equipment through rather than having to like do it by hand.
Well, and it will rust out and get weird. Right. Yeah, that's good.
So what do they have to do with the road surface? With this?
They're going to rip it up.
Just take it away.
Like that's
this
going
to be a 2 month deal instead of a few days.
So unfortunately, this means opening Schaefer Lane for the project duration.
Yeah, about 2 months. Or
maybe on?
Hopefully it's less. I think they were saying somewhere around a month expected.
And then?
That is to be determined.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably not.
So we just sent a letter of request for extension.
Okay.
Because we don't want this project falling during monsoon season. And having that out will potentially Schaefer could be flooding, and we can't handle that. So hopefully we get that extension done, and then we can do the work at a time when we're safe.
That could be another public service announcement. Stock your cupboards.
Yeah.
So what you mean, we're talking about fall? Okay.
Yeah, within this year, not...
But because of it was the July, that was the year. So if we get an extension.
April of 2026 would be the latest this extension would cover us for.
Right.
Okay.
And we already voted on that, didn't we?
Yeah.
All state of life. Okay, we have unfinished business.
Do we want to untable that?
I do.
I move we untable water agent job description.
Second. Wait for Obie.
Taking the vote, I'll start with Obie. Bob O'Brien.
Aye.
Harry Holland.
Aye.
Tori Hill.
Aye.
Tamla Gibson.
Aye.
And aye. Okay, so John is on now, but he and I have both worked on this. We kind of went back and forth. I think he might have been working on a different draft than I was. But we believe we've got it whittled to where we want it.
Or did everybody have a chance to go through it?
Mm-hmm. Looks good.
Yeah.
And we'd like to get it posted. Right away.
I move we approve the job description for the water agent as presented.
I'll second.
Any further discussion?
What are the qualifications for that?
High school diploma.
High school diploma or GED, a valid Utah driver's license, and at least 2 years of experience in administrative position involving record keeping and or other related duties. Everything else is trainable.
Is John Drew going to be able to train?
Yes. He's giving us until the end of next year.
Okay.
To work with someone. Yeah, well, it's basically a country.
Because he's really done a fantastic job.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we would be where we're at without water.
That's true.
Yeah, he is gracious to give us that.
And there's so many little fine details that go into keeping those right active.
Yeah.
So hopefully,
yeah.
Can he just clone himself?
Well, we're hopefully we're getting really good at apprentices there.
Big shoes, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, he is very tall. He is tall.
So did we vote on that yet?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
You guys get me all off track. Okay, we do not need a closed meeting, so we'll move on to item 13, payment of the bills.
I move we pay the bills. We got more.
More bills.
I have two late late additions. Reinhart Oil invoice for a drum of hydraulic oil for $505.18. And I have another Jones Mill engineering bill for $8,470.00, of which $6,000
reimbursable.
Yeah, reimbursable. $2,000 of it is for engineering.
And that's on the air charge culvert?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just keep coming up.
Well, you know, I went into the wrong line of work. I should have been an engineer.
Okay. Yes, yes.
So the cleanup bill did come in.
Yes. Yeah, we got the cleanup bill. There's something else big on it, too. We got diesel. Oh, the website renewal, the annual renewal from Revise.
How much was that?
$1,000.
Real quick, Jocelyn. The 505 or whatever it was from Reinhart was the hydraulic oil and a bit of fuel, correct? Or was that exclusively the hydraulic?
That was just what you just got the other yesterday.
Okay. There was some fuel included in that as well. They topped us up while they were out here.
Oh, okay. So. Good to know. That was just the invoice that they got from their visit yesterday.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to.
And then we also did have the backhoe. It was the $3,625.95, and that was when we returned the leased equipment, and that was the final maintenance bill or whatever the charge is. What all is included in that?
There were various small fixes, dinks, dents, things like that that had just occurred over time. Some of those are fairly expensive.
That's not near what we spent the last time we returned one.
No. And some of the tires were getting a bit more bald. I kind of decided to let them replace them with the tires that they wanted rather than us putting new tires on it and not being the ones that they wanted. And
having them replace them.
Yeah. Or something to that nature. So. It was just general kind of fixes that they needed to do to get it back out to use.
Great, thank you.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I move that we pay the bills with the addition of the engineering of
$8,470.
Oh, that was just our portion is, but we paid the
$8,000.
Right.
And the Reinhardt one. And the Reinhardt one. So $505.18. Thank you.
Second.
Okay.
further discussion? Tori Hill.
Aye.
Harry Hollis.
Aye.
Bob O'Brien.
Aye.
Pamela Gibson.
Aye.
And aye. Thank you, everyone. Thank you all for being here and for your comments. And have a great night. We're closing today at 7:55 p.m.
Recording stopped.